see if I can figure this out. I am Kate Nagel, and while I do during the day work at the Cleveland Clinic, another aspect of my job is to serve as the chair of the Cuyahoga Health Access Partnership. And I'd like to also introduce my colleague, Frances Afram Ginning, who is the CEO of Care Alliance, which is a federally qualified health center in Cleveland, provides health care to the homeless, and he is the treasurer of the board. And so our executive committee submitted an abstract, and we're very pleased to be here to share the work that we have been doing for the last couple of years. Perfect. I have no disclosures. Today, what I hope to do is talk about how a very diverse group of stakeholders have come together to focus on establishing and then implementing an access plan in Cuyahoga County. I'll talk a little bit about what the access program is and focus a lot on the development of it, some initial plans for implementation and then plans for evaluation. And I'll focus on what we have been doing, especially over this last year. For those of you who are not familiar with Cuyahoga County, it's the largest county in Ohio. It is home to Cleveland and yesterday the winning Cleveland Browns. it's a big deal for us. And we have roughly over 800,000 residents, and we have 33% of those that are at 200% of the federal poverty level or below. Over right around 18% of those that are uninsured in our county, and all of these numbers have been growing over the last year, as I'm sure you have seen in your communities as well. Cuyahoga is an interesting county in that it is a number of municipalities, and so while there is county government, there's also municipality and local government in each of our little cities or suburbs, and they are very diverse from health status, from socioeconomic status, and the lines between each of those communities are blurred. But as an example, there are two communities that are right outside of Cleveland, Lyndhurst and the Huff neighborhood of Cleveland, which are only 8 miles apart. The life expectancy in Lyndhurst is 89, and the life expectancy in Huff is 64. So we have a number of issues that we are all dealing with and trying to deal with it collaboratively. So the Cuyahoga Health Access Partnership is a joint public-private partnership that formed to address access to health in Cuyahoga County. We really were founded on the principle of shared responsibility. We feel that this is a very important message that we try and deliver, and that it's not just the hospital systems that are responsible for access, or the federally qualified health centers, or the government, or the health department. It's all of us, and that we need to work together to determine how best to address this issue. Our vision is to provide a user-friendly system of health access that replaces the current fragmentation that we see in our area, and we really focus on putting our patient or the individual at the middle of our model to ensure that what we're doing works best for them. Who are we? We are 4 major hospital systems, 3 federally qualified health centers, 2 free clinics, the city and the county government, local foundation, and insurance and the Medicaid HMO providers, all working together, serving on a board, having signed an MOU, and working to really determine how best to do this. Traditionally, we are not necessarily great collaborators with one another. I wouldn't say, I think that, you know, the varying lines of competition folks would define differently, but this is really the first time that this level of commitment and this level of intensity has been given to an issue in our area. Background. We've been doing this for a long time, and it really started as a number of different groups who were working on access. The health department led one, and the hospital systems led another, and then you had the really solid safety net that really just focused on providing care. And one of our county commissioners called all of us together in a meeting a couple of years ago and essentially said, get your acts together and start working together. No more of this. Come together. Figure out what you're going to do. They were able, the county secured a grant from one of our local foundations to hire a consultant to serve as a facilitator to try and help us work through this. And so through most of 2009, what we did was we did a lot of research, we did a lot of weekly meetings to try and determine the best way that we could proceed. And the goal was to create a framework for access, and we weren't sure when we started exactly what that would look like. And where we landed in August of last year was that we should form a separate 501c3 to have the responsibility. So we had really a neutral party, that we had a group that could sit there and say, I am CHAP. I am not Cleveland Clinic. I am not Care Alliance. I am CHAP. And so we constituted a board of directors. We elected an executive committee. We filed our incorporation papers. We started doing fundraising. And by December, we had a memorandum of understanding that was signed by all of our 14 partners. And that culminated with a county commissioner meeting, which was more ceremonial than anything else. But in order to have our county commissioner sign, you know, there's a process that you have to go to when it's government. So we really feel that the birth of CHAP was in December of last year. And then we got to work. The current landscape, as I think this is fairly similar to most organizations or most communities, you have an uninsured patient who presents either at the emergency department or at wherever they determine to be where they're going to seek care. We have a number of people who jump between the federally qualified health centers and the free clinics and the hospital systems. And then if they come to the ED, maybe they make it back to a primary care provider. And then when specialty care is needed, it really relies on wherever the primary care is being provided. Phone call from Francis to me to say, hey, do you think we could find someone to see at the clinic to see a patient? And it really is, it's fragmented, it increases health costs, it doesn't put the patient at the middle of any of this. And so we really felt that we had the opportunity to change this. So what we're working to do is establish a care coordination network across the entire provider system, so that there's a standardized enrollment and eligibility process. For CHAP currently, the eligibility criteria is ages 19 to 64, 0 to 200% of poverty. These are those who have no insurance. These are truly the uninsured. We have established a standardized enrollment eligibility process so that if you go through this at one of the participating CHAP providers, you are cleared everywhere, which is not the case currently. And then you're fed into a master patient database that assigns, through mutual decision-making process, a primary care home. And then there is a referral network and a specialty referral system that allows for easy referrals from the primary care setting into the hospital setting. So this is what we're working towards. So when we first got to work, we looked across the country at a number, the most notable being Detroit and San Francisco. Most of us know about their access programs. We also have a program in Toledo called CareNet, which is most similar to what we've put together. And so spent some time in Toledo, spent some time talking to folks in Detroit and San Francisco to see lessons learned, recommendations, et cetera. And then we came up with the following goals, that we would focus on increasing the use of primary care and ideally see better management of chronic diseases, standardize enrollment in charity care programs. As I said, they vary. What we collect at the clinic to establish someone in one of our charity care programs is very different from another organization. We wanted to develop a web-based database for CHAP members so that, again, it's easily searchable and it's easily accessed by all of our participating providers. We wanted, again, to really push primary care, but ensure that there was an ability to get from primary care to specialty care. The recent Dartmouth Atlas report showed that really the issues of access are the breakdown that occurs between primary care and specialty care, not necessarily having access into primary care. So we wanted to be sure, given that we have four major hospital systems participating, that we were able to use this better. And ultimately, and lower healthcare costs, decrease expensive use of emergency rooms, really try and ensure that our patients are getting the right care at the right place at the right time. So what we have been doing and what will be finalized by the end of this calendar year is, again, to the those those systems that need to be in place that put patients that then become CHAP members at the center of what we do. So to establish a common protocol for financial eligibility, we recently signed a contract with a national organization where we have a web-based system that will do this for us. And then really focus on determining what we're going to accept. We need to come up with CHAP will take proof of residency, income, you know, what those need to be given that the it varies across our system currently. We will in the near term have the individual sliding fee scales that exist at each of the provider locations, those will remain. One of our members likes to describe this as climbing a mountain. We're just going up one level and getting to that first plateau while we take a break and then regroup and then tackle the next summit. And we see that sliding fee as one of the second or third summits. But it is important to note that we did determine to start with 0 to 200% because at all the hospital systems you receive free care. For the majority of our FQHCs, you receive free care or have a very nominal a nominal copay. And then secondly, to establish the CHAP provider directory, to establish our system for specialty referrals. And there'll be a second web-based searchable tool that will facilitate referrals. We're still determining, you know, a lot of what's left, who does what? What is done at the provider location? What is done at the central location? And what can we start doing at the provider location that ultimately can be done by a centralized process? Long term, as I mentioned, we'd like to adopt a uniform system of sliding fees across CHAP for our members. Again, I think it's important. CHAP has members. Our provider organizations have patients. So we do not at all focus on changing the delivery mechanism of how care is provided at each of these locations. Far be it from me to tell anybody else how they should run their business. But what we want to do is for our members, for CHAP members, is ensure a standard process. We are fortunate to have one of the aligning forces for quality communities, Better Health Greater Cleveland, which has already been working over the last couple of years to measure quality clinical care. And we are working with Better Health to see how we can also have a CHAP subset of that so that we have a way in which we can measure our clinical outcomes as well. We want to promote medical homes. We want, again, to really promote the importance of primary care, but have that specialty referral process that's possible. And have a focus on the ED. We are initially starting to enroll existing patients that meet our eligibility criteria, but then our next step is to really focus on the ED to ensure that we can get folks out of trying to seek care in the emergency departments and into a regular primary care provider. What we see as the immediate community benefits of what we're providing is again, the standardization of the enrollment and eligibility process. If you walk into our county hospital and you're financially cleared there, that does not mean that you're financially cleared anywhere else. And so a patient would need to go through that process. If you want to seek care at Metro, you have to go through the process at Metro for a number of times. Then you'd have to come back to the clinic and follow our process. And again, we really see this as an immediate community benefit. The development of the continuity of care across the primary and specialty care networks, and then the reduced reliance on episodic emergency department use. Our accomplishments. We've applied for 501c3 status. We have contracted with CareMedic, the national organization, to purchase a customized web-based financial eligibility software system. We've been working with CareSource, who's one of our local Medicaid HMOs, to develop that provider directory tool, and it's modeled on insurance provider networks. And then we've developed legal documents and a process for our phase one, which is that enrollment of existing patients. And we're on pace to have enrollment at all provider locations by the end of this year. While I've only listed our accomplishments in four bullets, the amount of detail and the amount of time and energy, et cetera, that has gone into any of these one bullet or even sub-bullet that exists underneath it, I can't underscore. Challenges. I would say that the first challenge that isn't listed here has really been time. I mean, I think like most of us, when we sat down and said we're going to do this, we had a very aggressive timeline. We really thought, oh, this will be easy. And I think once you get into it, you realize the amount of time that it takes to do this. And we see this as our one opportunity to get it right. And so as a result, we really have been doing our due diligence through all of this process to ensure that it's that we do it the right way. But again, the main challenges that we've seen is this differences in FPL calculation, that it varies between the hospital and the FQHC and the free clinic, so trying to find commonality there. Sharing the burden of individual work is a big one, and the differences in IT capabilities is they vary. We've got most of our hospital systems are up and running with EMRs. Two of our federally qualified health centers are in the process, so there's differences in IT capabilities that exist. You know, again, really talking to folks about we all have day jobs, and the level of participation has been huge. We have high-level folks sitting around the table who, for the most part, can make decisions for their organization or sit just one level removed from being able to make decisions for their organization. But there's still lots of us, and there's still very large organizations and still a lot of red tape to get around. And I think there are a number of us who will hold up the MOU periodically and say, oh, no, we said we were going to do this, so come on, get with it, but we really have seen commitment across all of the organizations, and we've seen a focus in getting this done and in doing it right and pulling in the areas of expertise that we might need in across the organizations. I would be remiss if I didn't have a slide on PPACA, and I think our moderator did a great job of really outlining how just because you have insurance and just because we now, or maybe after last Tuesday may not, have 30 million more people coming on board does not mean that you have access. It doesn't mean that at all, and certainly doesn't necessarily mean that you have an easy way to move across a system that's comprised at the level that we have in Cleveland. And so you still need to see organized care, and we feel that you still need to have care coordination across the provider network, regardless of what health reform looks like or health insurance looks like. The long-term benefits that we see is, again, to push the primary care homes or the medical homes. The increased screening of population, from a financial perspective, will ideally drive people to insurance settings. We're also hopeful that we see that as well. But again, I think most importantly, we have a shared model of accountability and responsibility. We're working together. And that's one of those big messages that we really drive home to a lot of our local partners, because it just isn't seen very often, unfortunately. In the future, we're looking at having a lot of processes that will be directed at the actual provider location, done in a centralized location. We're looking to focus on quality through partnerships, but through the advancement of the patient-centered medical home, and also to look at having wraparound services to start with care and then see where else we might be able to go with this. There are a number of different collaborations that can lend expertise to this. And that's it.
Do we have a quick question of clarification for Kate before we move on? Sure.
Okay.
And first of all, the coordination between intensive care, special care, and the technical assistance and sliding fee scale and stuff, I assume that the specialty care is also either a sliding fee scale or free as well?
For the 0 to 200% of poverty, there's no cost. So that's a lot of why we had started. Once you start adding higher levels, it varies across the Cleveland Clinic's charity care policy actually goes up to 450% of poverty, and you're, for the most part, almost at total coverage for those who meet criteria, but it varies from the hospital system. So we started with the lower level of, and really those who we feel need this most, because we didn't have as much out-of-pocket payments for members.
One other quick question, if I may. I I noticed on your list of partners that there weren't any community-based partners. It didn't look like it was all providers and government.
We have a local, those are the organizations that I listed are those who have signed an MOU and then serve on the board. We have a community stakeholder group that feeds in, and as do most of the providers, have community boards, except we don't have a community spot on the board, though I would say that the local foundation ends up serving as the voice of the community, of the community member, as that's been a little bit of their role. But so we have a stakeholder group that feeds into and serves on our program design committee. Actually, we have a number of subcommittees from the board that have outside participation.
And
I know we have a few other questions. I'll ask if you just hang on to those questions, and we'll have time at the end of our panel to have a larger discussion on this.